you know, just keep, this thing is amazing. This place is awesome. So, and again, well, I just want to say thank you. It really is a family camp. Thank you for opening up your arms, opening up your hearts to us. Man, it feels like family, right? And kind of what Pastor Cam said, yeah, we were introduced to each other like, oh, hey, you got to meet. Oh, okay, hey, yeah, hey, nice to meet you. We just embraced, and ever since then, we just connected. And I've had a wonderful time to also meet some people from the church as well. And it's just wonderful to be here. So thank you for having us and enjoying to compete with you in those family games tomorrow, 11 a.m. I'm right there. Here we go. Get it up. So, and I'll bring my little daughter. She's 5 weeks. We are going to win this thing. Anybody else competitive in here, or is it? Christian, all right, just one, okay. Oh, yes, all right, we got the Cook family, all right, there you go. But that's kind of just, it's in our blood. We like to compete, so whatever it is, except for eating hot dogs, I'm not going to go that far. But other than that, we are going to compete, and we're going to have a good time together. So, awesome. Well, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, and let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29, and I'm going to just lay a quick foundation for these for this evening and kind of build it into what we go on in through all weekend long. But it is kind of cool, you know, what Pastor Fallon was saying, well, just about the word come. Yeah, like we do come, and here we are to kind of get away from what's going on kind of in our day-to-day routine or what your weekend looks like, just to spend some time away from what's normal to you and come and get away with the Lord. There's nothing better than it. You know, in Acts chapter 2, it talks about, Peter said this, that times of refreshing come from being in the presence of the Lord. And, you know, there's nothing to get like getting refreshed than being in God's presence. Anybody been on vacation before? And then after that vacation, you're like, I needed a vacation from that vacation. Oh, man, constantly. Like, I don't know. Jamie and I, just for our baby moon with this one, we went to New York for a week. We really enjoy New York City. So we were there for about a week or so, about 6-7 days. And I walked 54 kilometers just, I mean, walking. And after that vacation, we were like, okay, now Maui sounds like a great time just to get away yet again. Because, yeah, going on a vacation, you look for refreshing, and you can get some of that. But true refreshing really comes from being in the presence of the Lord. Can I get a uh-huh? Uh-huh. All right. So you know what, y'all? You can just yell at me. You can do a lot of that. I youth pastored for 9 years, so I'm used to a lot of boo, ah, yeah, take a lap, whatever it is. You feel free, right? Is that okay, Pastor Ken? That's what you told me to say. Yeah. And just don't trip on the carpet. And so he said, yeah, Joel, you can go 4-6 hours, whatever it is. So I don't know if I'm on Alberta or Saskatchewan time or Manitoba time. We'll just see what happens, right? How's that sound? All right. I'm glad you're all excited about that. Okay. Before we get started, let's just pray. Let's just believe God for utterance. And I'm just thankful more than anything that we have the Holy Spirit, that he's not limited to what I know or what I don't know. He can speak to you no matter where you're at, no matter what your situation is, where you're currently focusing on. God is bigger than anything that could be said, and he's speaking to you this evening. So let's just release our faith, and we'll just believe God and receive all that God wants for us these next couple days. Father, we come before you. We are so grateful. Jesus, you gave your all for us, and we are so thankful that you died for us, that you arose again for us, and now you're seated in heavenly places, not only for us, but we're seated there with you. And so this evening, we take our seat with you to hear from heaven, to hear what you'd have to say for us. Father, we thank you that you give us eyes to see, you give us ears to hear, and you give us hearts that understands. Jesus, our hearts are open to you. Our mind is alert. We thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for utterance, that your word goes forth boldly, your word goes forth plainly, and that it can be grasped and understood. Jesus, we honor you. We give you all the praise for it. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place to do what you got to do, to do what you want to do. We yield ourselves to you into your presence this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, you are very familiar with this, but I want to lay a foundation. And I guess just the word that, you know, I had kind of a message that I was, you know, kind of ready to go on. And I guess a couple of days before, you know, even getting out here, the Lord kind of just started stirring in me a little bit different thing. So I spent some time in prayer, and I basically the Lord gave me this title for this evening is to fight for your future, to fight for it. Everybody say it with me, fight. Fight. We're going to fight for our future. Fight for it. And I'm talking to Solid Rock Church. I'm talking also to individual, maybe where your family may be at, where you are individually. But just as a church family, to fight for the vision. And just this past couple weeks, I've been stirred up on the inside to really look at this and say, you know what, I need to develop a mindset of this is war. As Christians, it's not all, you know, fluffy and nice, and you have a cute little lamb under your arm, and, you know, everything's peaceful, and all is good, all is great, and we're just supposed to be like this. There's also in this Christian life is a fight.
Yes, right.
Right? We are in a war. Anybody aware of that war? There is an enemy, there's one who's come to steal, kill, and destroy, and there's also a God who came to give life more in abundance. But there is a war that is going on, and so we have to become aware of that, so because our future is not automatic. And I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm going to just stop right there and let you hang, and then we'll come back in and tie it up. But, you know, God has great plans for your future. God has great plans for this church. Right? I know that sounds cliche. That's just, God, that's a Christian saying. Everybody's got to say it. But when you stop for a second, really think about it, God has good plans for your future. It's that's big, right? I mean, even that book, The True Nature of God, that we have a good God and He's for you, He's not against you. He's on your side. He's cheering you on. He's the biggest cheerleader that you'll ever have, right? He's so for you. Zechariah says He sings songs over you. And Psalm 139 talks about that His thoughts about you outnumber the grains of sand on the seashore. That's a lot. Anybody been to a good beach before? What do you see? Sand. Anybody enjoy golf? Anybody enjoy being in the sand in golf? You know, every time I land in the bunker, I just thought, that's okay, Joel. Now is an opportunity to look at the sand and think, how awesome God really thinks that I am. So even though you go slice it and there it goes off in the bunker again, that's too bad. But God's got a lot of good things about me to say, right? So there's always a plus side to that. That's the optimist side of life. Meanwhile, my golf score is horrendous. But you know what? We'll move past that. So Jeremiah 29:11, it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." So we know this is God speaking. He says, "They are plans for good." Say good.
Good.
And not for disaster. So ain't that good news? That'll just solve a lot of weird thinking right off the bat. My plans for you are good and not for disaster. So if anything disastrous is happening in your life, that is not of God. Why? Because His plans for you are good. And that's not just G-O-O-D, it's G-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-D. Good. They're good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And John 10:10, it says this, and this is from the Passion Bible. Anybody heard the Passion Bible? Man, that's a good one. If you haven't, it's on your phone. If you like download the Bible app, it's on there. It's fantastic. But it says this in John 10:10, "A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy, but I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." Oh, did you hear that? All right, so we hear, what does the enemy want to do? His purpose, his will for your life, if we could say, is to do what? To steal, to slaughter, and to destroy. That's what he's after. But Jesus said, "I've come." Aren't you thankful He came? I came. I came that He may do what? These things here. I came that to give you everything in abundance. Are you all looking on the screen? Oh, wow, you got that. Pastor Candace, you are amazing. Wait, it's just bad. There it is. I can look on the screen rather than my itty-bitty phone. Here it is. "I have come to give you everything." Say everything.
Amen.
In what? Abundance. What else? More than you expect. More than you expect. What are you expecting? There's more. What does that say? Life in its fullness until you overflow. Now, why does God want to give you overflow? Why does He want to give you everything in abundance? Because at abundance, that's when living starts happening. Right? Anytime you give of yourself, what do you give of? You give out of your abundance. You give out of your fullness. Right, if you're always tired and you're drained and you got, you know, all these things going on and you're scraping from the bottom of the barrel, is it really effective? Is it really good? No. Right? That's why, man, Jesus came to give you everything in abundance, because really that's when ministry starts happening, is from the overflow. Right? And that's why Jesus came. He came to give us life in abundance to the full till it overflows. Aren't you thankful that He doesn't just stop when you're just, you know, lid the cap? He came to overflow that. That's your and my life. That's a picture of what He came to do for you and I. So are you living in the overflow? Maybe not yet, but that's okay. We're going to get there. That's His plan. That's His will. And that has never, ever changed. Ephesians 3:20 in the Passion Bible. Now that I know that Pastor Candace is back there and very quick. In the last little bit of that verse, it says, God will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. Now, I'd like to hear, what are some of your wildest imaginations? And so you can see that just even taking time to think and to envision some of these things is so vital for your life. What do you see for your life? What do you see yourself doing? What do you see yourself possessing? What are you seeing yourself able to do for others? There's so much more that God is able to do through you and I. And he says, he will outdo them all. For his miraculous power constantly energizes you. So now looking at all these plans are awesome, but they are not automatic. So even though God's plan for you and his will for you is abundance to the full till it overflows, he wants to surpass your greatest imagination. Even though all these things is true and God desires it for you and I, it is not automatic. It doesn't just happen, right? It's going to require a few things. Number one, it's going to require a forward-thinking mentality. Number two, it's going to require a fight. Say fight. Fight. Anybody like to fight here? We're all lovers. Oh, we're all lovers here. Anybody like to fight? I'm not. And again, I just have to clarify that we do not fight against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12, right? We're not fighting against flesh and blood. But who are we fighting against? Principalities in the high places, right? That's, we're not fighting people. We're fighting the spirits in the high places. But again, there is a fight. So we're not just supposed to roll over and play good Christian. That's not how this thing rolls. Because you know this, Matthew 11:12, it says this. You don't have to turn there. It says, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent, they take it by force. So really, seeing any progress, spiritually speaking, any progress for the kingdom of God isn't going to just automatically happen. It has to be taken by force. Say force. Come on, I don't know if there's going to be tug of war out there tomorrow, but something like that, it's going to require some effort. Fight. Now, I like fighting in a good way. It's really, I don't like fighting with my wife. We never fight. We've had a perfect marriage, really. For 10 years, have we ever had an argument? No. Well, maybe a few. No, yeah, she hasn't. I have. All right. But it's, man, we fight good and we fight to win. And we fight till we win. Again, that's a competitiveness. I just, that's how it rolls. So, now we must develop, as I said, this attitude, I'm in a war mentality. Because you know what? Don't ever think that this is all that there is. You've experienced God for a little bit. Don't think that you've reached it. Don't ever think, okay, well, this is the little bit I've experienced of God. There is so much more for you. Again, above all that you could ask or think. Don't let the trial that you're facing sway you from whatever it is God has called you to. There's more, there's more, there's more. Come on, say it with me. There's more. Now I want to get you just kind of stirred up on the inside just to kind of see it and envision it. God's plan is everything in abundance to the full till it overflows. God wants your life to be spilling out everything that he's done in your life. So see yourself as that cute fountain just shooting water everywhere till the overflow, right? So now again, this is the wrong mindset is if God wants me to have something, he'll just give it to me. We got to get rid of that mindset. If anything, if God wants me to have something, he'll just get it to me. It's not going to work because the reality is you're going to have to fight to possess. You're going to have to fight to move forward. And that's what I'm going to share with you this evening. That okay? Now, we all know the children of Israel. We kind of know their story. And anybody that's, you know, you read your Bible kind of through Exodus, you kind of see what happened. And at that time, God had called Abraham. And he called them to be a great nation. And so he was going to have descendants as much as the seashore, as many stars you can count. He was going to have so many of them. But all of a sudden, the Israelites find themselves 400 years in slavery to the Egyptians. Now, you can't tell me that was God's plan from the beginning. Abraham, you're going to have all these descendants, and they're going to just be slaves for all this eternity. No, there was something more. God has something more in mind for them than just slavery. He has something more in mind for them than poverty. He has something more in mind for them than just being stuck and being controlled by, you know, a horrible force. There was something more for them, right? And so what did God do? He raised up a man named Moses. Moses came with a message. Moses came with a word from God. And it was, let my people go. And as we see it in Exodus chapter 7, verse 16, God told him to say, announce this to Pharaoh, that the God of the Hebrews has sent me to tell you, Pharaoh, let my people go so they can come and worship me in the wilderness. Now, as we know, what did God do in Egypt? What did he do to the Egyptians? He what? Oh man, he kicked some. We allowed to say that at camp? But? Okay. I said it. It's recorded now. He kicked some butt, man. What did he do? Man, he showed off. He showed his power. He showed his might. And what did the Israelites do? They saw everything that God did, everything God could do, and they were just, wah! Like, think about it. It is pitch black in Egypt, yet where they're living, it's complete light. How does that work? Right? All of a sudden, like, all the sand turned into flies, man. Like, everything. Right, just crazy stuff going on. So Israel, they saw that there is a God. Right, they saw him. And you can read that Psalm 103, verse 7. It says that God, or the Israelites knew the ways of God, but Moses knew his acts. Man, I love that. But children of Israel, they saw what God wanted to do. There was something more for them than just slavery. And the reason what God wanted to do, he wanted to get them out of that captivity, get them out of that torture, get them out of all that the bondage that they were in, bring them to a land that they wanted to show them. But first, he wanted to get them in the wilderness so that they could start this relationship with one another. And from there, bring them into this land flowing with milk and honey. Man, what God had for them was good in abundance to the full till it overflowed. Now, in Numbers chapter 13, turn there with me real quickly, please. And we're going to just take our time and just looking through this. I know you may have heard this story or this account before, but it's, man, this shows some pretty powerful things here. Numbers 13, verse 17. When you read through the Gospels and you see what Jesus does, man, it's amazing. We go, oh man, that's Jesus, it's amazing. Yeah, but he did that as a man anointed by the Spirit of God. Guess what you are? A man, a woman, anointed by the Spirit of God. When you see Jesus, you're supposed to identify with him, not the person that needs from Jesus all the time. You're supposed to be just like him. Come on now. Yeah, that's who we are. We're him. He's us. We're made in his image. Right? Okay. So going back to our Israelite friends here, in verse 27, this is the report that they gave. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country. A land flowing with, what does that even mean? A land flowing with milk and honey. What is your mental image go when you hear flowing with milk and honey?
Cows and bees everywhere.
Cows and bees every cows and bees everywhere. I actually just see like a milk lake. Man, I'm gonna just jump in that, man. Flowing with milk and honey. Just slurp it up. Maybe it's chocolate milk. Hey, he goes above my imagination or my thought. It could be chocolate milk too. I'd be great with that. But man, and all this honey is just, you know, pouring down your face. It's flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. So they showed him, here's this basketball grape. Verse 28, but, everybody say but. That's the wrong place to put your butt. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. And just so you know, those guys probably could be 36 feet tall. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. I like this guy. Verse 31. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour everyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Doesn't that sound lame? So here it is. God's got these grapes. God's got this plan. God's got this purpose for you and my life. And the first thing that we see is, again, just because God wants me to have something doesn't mean I'm automatically going to get it. What is the mindset that we're creating? In order to possess what God has given me, I'm going to have to fight. Fight to possess. Fight to take over. Right? Now let's just talk real quickly here. Taking the land. You know, this is the first thing. You know, if you look again at verse 30, that what Caleb said, Caleb tried to quiet the people, and he stood before Moses. And I love these words. He said, you have that there? The first two words he said were, let's go. Everybody say it with me, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And what are these guys doing? No, let's stay. Let's stay. Let's stay. I have no interest in just being with guys that like to stay. Let's go. Let's go. I love those words. Let's go. This is who we are. We're the church. Because the reality is, anytime you're going to get possess new territory from the kingdom of God, you're going to have to fight. Anytime a church looks to impact a community, there will be giants. Anytime that you as an individual want to move the kingdom of God forward, there will be giants. The land of the grapes is also in the land of the giants. That's where it is. God's got more grapes. Guess where they are? They're with the giants. God's got all these great plans for me. Man, that's what he's got. Yeah, and God wants to do good things for me. We can sing about that all day long, but you're not going to see any change in your life until we say, let's go. Nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to move until we go. Right? I want all these grapes that God has for me. Guess who's holding the grapes? The giants. So I got to fight. So sometimes today's giants, I mean, we're not fighting 36-foot men. It'd be kind of fun, though. Sometimes I just wish to get in the Old Testament just to, you know, cut a few guys' heads off, just to do some damage that way. It would be kind of fun to do. Anybody else think that? Yeah. Yeah, like... Yeah, I mean, you just run up there and 1,000 foreskins. You're just killing a bunch of guys. It's just crazy, right? But today, what does our battles look like? Well, a lot of times, it's persecution. It's criticism. Anytime that you as an individual, anytime that as a church, you're looking to make change and go forward, what are some of the things you get? Criticism, persecution. Why are they doing that? Why are they making that change? Who did that? Why are they doing this? Even in your own personal life, why are they not hanging out with me as much as they used to? There's change. There's progress. I am going. Don't hang around just status quo. Don't hang around. This is what I used to do. This is what I'm normal with. Let's go. There's grapes on the other side. Listen, when you saw what's on the other side, you get there, you'd be so glad that you didn't just stay. Right? Okay. So, and here's the thing. We are on an assignment. We're not sent here by Jesus on a survival mission. Can I get an uh-huh? We're not here just to survive, just to make it until he comes back. No, we're here to take over. We're here as the salt and as the light of the earth. We're here to win and conquer. Guess who the bosses are on this earth? Us. We're the church. Right? It says even in Ephesians chapter 2, I believe it's verse 10, or Ephesians 2:10 talks about we're going to even be judging angels. So let's practice here. Right? We're the boss of this earth. God gave us this earth. It belongs to us. Amen. Right? So we the bosses. What do you want to see in this earth? What do you want to see changed? That's what we decide. Right? So I know that I'm not going to live forever. And this is a few things that personally that I've been working out. I'm fighting for a generation that is coming up after me. My focus is to build and to fight. We're fighting for future generations for the church. It's time to warrior and pioneer. Let's take communities and our cities back. They belong to us. Come on now. Yeah, I mean, I'm not just looking at a church that, I mean, to think big. Okay, what's the church going to look like in 3 to 4 years? No, no, no. What's the church needed for when my kids grow up? That's how I want to be thinking. Your grandkids, your children, what does the church need? What are the churches going to be required in 25 years from now? That's what I want to build towards because that's what we do. We're big thinking that way. Listen, because I know I'm not going to live forever, but I got kids that are coming up after me. I'm leaving a legacy. That's what my focus is on because it's going to continue to go. So what do? We fight and we build. I mean, the same thing with Nehemiah. Anybody read the story of Nehemiah? I mean, what happened? Anytime that they start rebuilding the wall, and that was Nehemiah's vision and his purpose, is we're going to re-put that wall back together. And as soon as the enemies found him putting that wall back up, what'd they do? They attacked him. Any progress you're going to make, you're going to get attacked. So just expect it. But this is how we live our life. We live by building and fighting. So I got a shovel in one hand, and I got a sword in the other hand, and this is how I live my life. I'm building, and I'm also fighting. right? Okay. So now, as we said, developing a war mentality. So the issue with the Israelites then was not the giants. The giants weren't the problem. What was the problem was the image that they had of themselves compared to the giants. What did they say? They said they thought of themselves. They looked as grasshoppers in their sight, and so we were in theirs. So what is the problem? The problem is not the giants. The problem is not the criticism. The problem is not all the stuff that we're going to get and people saying about us or, you know, the friends we may lose. That's not the problem. It's how we view ourselves on the inside. 10 guys, they saw this land. They held these grapes and said, we are no match for what these giants could do to us. 2 guys said, let's take it. Let's rip their heads off. We got this. God will surely give us the victory. Why? Because they had a bigger picture on the inside. Isn't it the same thing for us? 1 John 4:4, greater is he who's living in me than he that is in the world. Who gives a rip what they say? Who gives a rip what they do? No matter what governments do, it does not matter because the greater one lives on the inside of me. What he says goes. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it and I'm going to build and I'm going to fight. What if they turn you down? They can't. If he told me to do it, that's what's going to happen. Amen. All right. Now, just in closing here, but here's the reality. I mean, as I said, Proverbs 23:7, let me just go back. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So how do you see you? What's a giant in your life? It could be financial difficulty. It could be health-wise. It could be a family situation. But that's not the problem. The real thing is, how do you see yourself in comparison to that? Is your mountain so big and you just go, man, there's no way I can get around this. There's no way my family can turn this thing around. There's no way I can get out of this financial difficulty. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So again, the problem is not how big this mountain is or how big this problem is. The problem is I have to get bigger on the inside. See me bigger. I remember Smith Wigglesworth always said this, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. And I believe it's Psalm 4:1. It says that God, he enlarges us on the inside. He expands us on the inside to get bigger than anything we face out here. So let God do some building on the inside of you. And listen, most takeovers, more fighting is not external, it's internal. A lot of the fighting that you and I face, it's not external, it's on the inside. Right? So, again, here's the reality, and here's the truth. Humans create the future. God does not create your future. Humans create future. Can we say that together? Humans create future. That's what we do. We're in charge of that. God doesn't create the future for you and I. Because according to Proverbs 4, and I want you to turn there real quickly, this will be the last scripture that I'm going to. But Proverbs 4:23, I know you know this, it's a good verse. It says, you got it on the screen? Oh, you do. It says, guard your heart above all else. Why? For it, what? The heart determines what? The course. It determines the course of your life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Guard your heart above all else, for out of your heart flows life. That's how life flows, it all from the inside. Life doesn't just happen to us. Life is flowing from the inside of you. So you determine futures. You set the tone. You set the stage for the future. So sadly, looking at these Israelites, they created a different future for themselves than what God had planned for them. Think about this. God said, I got a land for you, flowing with milk and honey. It's got these honking grapes that you could eat for like 3 hours and you wouldn't be done it. Here's this grape. Here's this land that I gave you. And because of what was on the inside of them, because of how they saw themselves in comparison to the giants, what happened to that whole generation? Gone. They died in the desert. Think about that. Isn't that sad? And meanwhile, this was all promised to them. This was all given to them. What did they have to do? Take it. How do you take it? I build and I fight. They were unwilling to go forward, unwilling to move forward, unwilling to change their mindsets about things, unwilling to think a little differently. But meanwhile, there's 2 men, Joshua and Caleb, who were willing. Why? Because your future is worth fighting for. They said, man, we want to raise our kids there. We want to establish homes. We want to establish cities and villages. We want to take this land over because it belongs to us. Our kids are going to inherit that. That belongs to us. So they went in and they took it, man. That's awesome.
All right.
Now, as I said, there was another group of people that wanted all that God had for them. I believe that's you in this room. You want all that God has for you. I mean, one of the things I know, I don't want to live my life out to the very end and hear God say, I had all this planned for you, but you weren't stepping into it because of some of this. No way. Jesus paid a huge price for me just to enjoy a little bit of this life. He was beaten. He was whipped. He went to hell, rose up from the dead for me. I want the life that he came to give me in the fullness of it, not just parts here and there. I want the whole thing. THANG. All right? Okay, now I love this. They pioneered. They wanted to raise their children there. They wanted something better. Anybody want something better? Anybody not living in God's best yet? What do you want? I want that next thing. I want that grape he's got for me. He's got more grapes for your family. Don't just settle with, oh yeah, you know, 3 out of my 4 kids are doing okay. No, 4 for 4. I want them all in this thing. Not just a few little bit. Everything's going good in my life. Just, you know, I got a little problem in my pinky toe. I want the whole body being well. Not just, you know, everything's okay except for my pinky toe. The whole thing. This is the part we got to fight and not be okay with just average or mediocre or status quo. Those are enemies to advancing the kingdom of God. Because if you ever get satisfied, listen, then you've arrived. And listen, have any of us arrived yet? No, there is so much more. There's so much more. So if you think you've arrived, I'm here from Alberta to tell you, you haven't arrived yet. And listen, there's no age on this. It's for whosoever, right? God opens the doors for us, but we as humans create the future. Let's move life forward. Let's advance the kingdom of God. Let's take the giants out so our children can see God in a powerful way. What we're doing here is we are setting the platform that they one day are going to live off of. So what can happen, they can build the next platform. That's really all our job is. It's generational. We're thinking this way. We're fighting and we're building so we can set a platform for the next generation. So they can take it from where we left off. They can build and they can fight for the next generation. And that's how God is operating. The enemy knows that. What do you think he's after the most? He's after the young ones. Because if he can get the young ones, he can squelch an entire generation from hearing the truth of the Word of God. You and I, this is our job. This is our task. This is our duty. It's to move the kingdom forward because there's a future waiting for you that you haven't yet seen. God's got grapes. He's got lots of grapes. And they're good. They ain't sour. They're good grapes. Right? Amen. That's all I wanted to share with you this evening. So I'll see you on that field tomorrow morning at 11. And then we'll be back here tomorrow night. So Pastor Cam.